Hello and welcome to one more episode of Spoon, the Tick versus the Podcast. And I'm not going to go, you've heard it 1,000 times. Actually, you've heard it about 20 times.
I'll say something nice about Neo Zaz.
And Neo Zaz!
Wanky, wanky.
Neo Zaz, who tolerates us.
They let us be here. Anyway, yeah, this is, we're deep into season two now of The Tick. And this is one where I've always liked the name of this episode, Coach Fussell's Lament. I always really like this, and this has always been one of my favorite episodes because we get Charles the Brainchild back, and we also get to see a ton of the Tick's rogues galleries again. And
I think you just liked it for the absurdity of the French.
And that too, considering I did take high school French, so and I can understand everything that he says as a high school French speaking bird. So yeah. This is an episode that is near and dear to my heart.
So you'd be translating for us today, Tim?
I can if you like. If you need me to translate.
I also took high school French. I thought, oh, it would be the most challenging of Spanish, French, or German, and then I failed to rise to the challenge.
Me too. I passed it the first year, and then I failed it 2 years. I failed French two years in a row. By midway through the second year, Mademoiselle Rooney just let me sit in the back of the room.
And Mademoiselle Rooney.
She thought I was such a loser. Maybe I was.
I think the French will be proud of your surrender, Tim.
Yeah.
Hey, wee.
I did exactly what the French did. When a challenge arose, they sat down.
Well, we just alienated a potential country of fans.
Sacre bleu! La tique, spoon.
Let's.
Merde.
Without further adieu.
Let's get this party started in here. So, okay, we're going to do the 1, 2, 3, go. All right, here we go.
And we're on the DVD this time.
We are on the DVD, yes. We are on the DVD. So we'll do 1, 2, 3, go. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. And I'm playing. And it is froze up again on me. There we go. So now it's playing.
You got the Tick just waking up, Arthur waking up.
Yep. Now he's in the mustache, and then now the shoe, and now.
Tim, are you playing this like on a Windows Media Player or something like that?
I am. Yeah.
I've found that if you leave it paused for a long time, it then takes a while to catch up when you do hit play.
Some bitches.
Yeah. So how you guys been since we recorded our last episode about Leonardo da Vinci?
Same.
Good couple of days?
Yeah. I'm finding it much more difficult to talk over the intro now. By the end of season 3, we'll just be like, oh, this is a goddamn intro.
We're just going to start skipping it.
I'll be on the can, guys. Be back in a second.
I'm going to take a 60-second shit. I'm back. Hey, what did I miss?
Hey, thank goodness. Look at that timing.
Yeah. There's Brian Pinade. Ooh, Pinade. 217 got special there.
It got sparkly.
It's nice of them to keep the children's identities hidden.
Yeah. That is funny. Now, there are moments in this where you see her mouth move, and I wonder if they originally had a voice for her. Have you guys noticed this?
Oh, no. When it gets to it, I'll see.
Yeah. There, it's like you see her mouth move a little bit.
Maybe she's silently screaming for help.
Oh, yeah. When she's in the robots, you definitely see it.
You're probably right about that, Tim. That seems the
simplest
right there,
explanation. Like she was just like, hey, you!
Get your hands off her, you bitch.
But I'm going to go for a far-fetched conclusion, which is that the neurons in her brain being stimulated by the robot puppet master were causing her face to spasm while nothing came out of the mouth. There we go. Brainchild, you're far more insidious than even I expected.
Maybe he was studying Helen Keller in school and wanted to help her to learn to talk.
Now, are they currently looking? They're looking for the nanny, but why don't they just like follow the sounds of like the explosions and wrecking what's going on right now.
Because he got a new toy. I think you have to stick
this thing on. It's here. A media blackout, Tim, all right? They're controlling just how much content they take in. You need to unplug sometimes.
Meanwhile, all Arthur had to do was turn around and he saw her.
Yeah, there she is. No need for that fiend finder.
The poor diner.
I like the little touch of as they're running by, over the roofs, there's already damage from the
tech.
Oh,
yeah.
Like they just haven't gotten the repair of that roof yet.
There should have been a gargoyle there, but already demolished. Now, I think they say when a villain, like Rat or a hero, or when a villain becomes more of a wuss, like the trope, I think they call that like Flanderization. You know, where like over time the villain's characterization is less badass. But I think that over time they're making American Maid less effective.
Yeah,
she was right there in the diner. Completely oblivious to what was going on, next to Deflator Mouse, who we've come to expect that from. But
yeah,
he's rubbing off on her. Supposed in a bad to way.
Hey. Water under the bridge.
The spanking.
This is some kinky shit right here.
Yeah,
Tim, did you enjoy some of that tick ass there?
A little bit. Ooh, what's going on here? Badoom.
Arthur, of course, going to pieces as soon as he's parted from the tick.
He needs the tick. Where's American Maid? Where is she? Oh.
A nice little sting from Sewer Urchin.
Well, right there, there was that scene of Arthur running through in between the bars was actually kind of an interesting little animation piece there. It implied a third dimension. In a two-dimensional world.
So we're returning to Brainchild. Gets a second shot. I don't know if I like this villain enough.
I noticed that there was no tree in the backyard like in the first episode. I don't know if this is a different house.
It looks like it might be a different house.
Naga hide!
But as I think I mentioned when we saw the first Brainchild episode, that was Rob Paulson doing a helium-voiced version of a boy, which
absolutely.
I never much liked. As good as he is, I still just heard Rob Paulson. But they actually got a voice actor here to do the character this time. Even though Paulson was obviously on hand. Yeah.
Maybe he's doing another character as well and can only do a certain number of characters.
Oh.
For Tim's acting rule.
Too many roles.
So Stuart Stone, who was at the time, would have been 14 or 15 years old. So yeah, that's right on. And he has just the right amount of like pubescent, like just a little crack in the voice.
Yes.
And he looks slightly older too. So I think he's not as kiddy like he was in the first one. He seems a little taller.
Yeah. It may just be me.
And is there a little bit more hair where there wasn't hair before? Occasionally a boner peeks out for just a second because you can't control it.
You know, to do all this stuff with this nanny, he would have had to undress her at least once. So, I think Charles is a man now.
Sounds like we're getting into fanfic territory over here. And am I right to think that we don't see his sister through this episode?
I don't think we do.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing. What happened to Amelia?
Yeah, Amelia, bring her back.
Yeah, what did he put her brain into?
Oh, I hadn't even thought. I was just going to suggest that she like got knocked up and they sent her away, you know, vacation for a while, but that's even more sinister.
Or, you know, Skippy's gone, too. No Skippy.
Nice effect, that green ray.
There we go. Oh.
Here we go. The beginning of the tick's ordeal.
Oh, tiny tick.
I have that action figure. What a ripoff.
How does it
Now, in Marvel Comics, I think Ant-Man, when Ant-Man gets smaller, he gets more dense, right? So I think there's more power behind him. So his strength becomes. Yeah. I don't know how science works, but he gets greater strength so that when he goes back to normal size, he has an incredible uppercut. Depending on who's what version of it is.
He's like
long
a
way of saying, shouldn't the Tick be incredibly more stronger
even more
at that size?
Like,
yeah,
even more nigh invulnerable.
Yeah.
Strap in, kids.
There was an issue of the Avengers once where they were fighting the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and someone managed to shrink the Blob. So I guess maybe it was Hank Pym. And when the Blob became tiny, now he actually started falling through the earth because he was
he was just
so dense.
Oh man.
I like that the Brainchild has put on a jacket and tie. Oh.
Because he's getting ready for the auction, isn't he?
Yeah,
it's nice to show he's got some respect for his elders.
He's getting to that age where he cares about the fashion. You know, other people are going to see him. He cares what he looks like. Who can only speak high school
French? Tim, would you like to translate that?
My name is the Tick. I have large feathers and two heads.
Nice.
I do like this callback coming up here. I do like this quick little callback. Just wait, you'll understand.
Derek, did you catch what he just said there?
Where is the Eiffel Tower?
Yes. I have mine on a very low volume, unfortunately. Just loud enough to barely hear it.
Take that, Coach Fussell.
Now, there's something very, very mythological about this kid in the, turning his enemies into other creatures. It's like Circe, the
wizard,
the sorceress on the Isle in the Mediterranean, turns Odysseus's men into swine, I believe.
I learned so much from doing this podcast with you guys.
Yeah, it is good.
Still got the tracker on him.
Yeah. Even as a
did you notice any names on that list that of villains who don't make it to this episode that are just referenced on the sheet of paper? Yeah. I noticed that the Whirling Scottish Dervish is not on that list.
Not important enough. He didn't get enough money during his bank robberies.
The Pine Barrens. Brilliant!
They laughed at all my jokes.
For those who may be joining us for the first time, you want to explain what that was?
Those were the corn. No, were they corn or were they little trees from the El Cid episode?
They were like saplings from
Oklahoma. Saplings.
Yeah, they were little trees.
They stole a car.
There was corn in that episode, but.
I thought that was really funny that they're still driving around. And they haven't left the city. They're still in the city.
Well, they probably got a small business loan and now actually have set up for themselves as landscapers.
I like Deflator Mouse's little thought there. It's like, where do they keep getting those blimps? I really dislike Pineapple Pokeball. There's something about him as a character I don't like.
Really?
Yeah,
just bring it up now.
I just don't like Pineapple Pokeball as a character. There's something about him. I probably should have brought it up during his episode.
For cross-referencing, if you want to go back a season, everyone, we have the Tick versus Pineapple Pokeball. Is that what it was called? I forget, but that's his spotlighting episode.
Prom dom?
He makes a good point. But now I have surpassed Charles has right now surpassed him. None of you could. Gentlemen,
I give you that's not the Tick.
Any other villains you wish could have made it to this sinister summit?
I would have liked to have seen the.
I know who. It was just not Monster.
Yes, the Thrakazog obviously should have been in this episode.
I think it would have been interesting if Barry showed up.
Yeah,
you know, to take away the real Tick, so that he's the only Tick now.
He just wasn't that kind of mastermind. I love the Jacques that he gives right there.
Jacques! I'm cool.
Meanwhile, we're seeing our heroes do some of their probably sloppiest. You can't even call this detective work. I mean, this is so low rent. They hitchhike into the suburbs, and then they just peer in through a window.
They're just peeping Toms at this point.
Yeah, just American made. I expect better from you.
Well, at least Arthur's holding down his ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Where are his parents?
Yeah, the first appearance of Brainchild, there was a lot of some hay made from, you know, the parents having this modern parenting style, which lets the kid make the mistakes. Of course, at the end, discipline comes down, and the traditional nuclear family is affirmed. But in this episode, it looks like Brainchild won out.
Yeah,
he's got his own place in the suburbs now, and his own personal nanny.
Yeah. Did you call him a dink? Looks like a dink.
There's a cosplay costume for you.
I'll be the rake.
Yeah, I think the rake is a pretty brilliant touch. I mean, in terms of completely idiotic touches, it's brilliant. Just let me do the talking. Who are you? I am
the rake, and this is Buckethead. Buckethead.
They're from Deertown. That's what he should have said.
That would have been funny.
That would have been a nice tie-in from the past.
I like the Terror. I'm glad he's making the comeback in the new Amazon series.
I am also looking forward to the Amazon series, particularly if someone is listening right now.
Yeah. We'd love to speak with the cast and crew and creators of
I will the Tick take Amazon back everything series. I said before. If you get
I didn't
touch.
Actually say it because it was deleted.
It was a new and improved live action series.
And one thing I did notice in this episode, and it's coming up, that you see American Maid actually remove her headdress. You actually see her hair flow in the wind.
Right. I forget why. Can't wait to see. These villains are
they're penny
pinchers. Nickel and diamond sons of bitches.
And you notice that through the whole series, though. I mean, we saw that with El Cid, and I think there was somebody else that was like real, real tight budgeted.
It's a recurring thing, villainy on a budget, yeah.
It's like that Steve Martin Saturday Night Live episode where it's the James Bond bullets aren't cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Once again, Arthur, not afraid to tackle a piece of technology he knows nothing about.
Nope.
I'm enjoying Doug Kansaris' sort of jazzy, saxy thing going on.
See,
right?
Look at that.
There you go. Oh, she's using it as a knife on the ropes. Very MacGyver-esque.
I guess maybe all the pieces of her costume are actually, you know, double as weapons and tools.
Yeah. How gauche.
Did you guys just hear the Facebook messaging I received?
No.
Just on my end. Sorry, I should have silenced that.
Who is this from?
It's a friend of mine in New York, my roommate from college, actually.
Oh, okay.
We just basically share back and forth instances of social media idiocy. But I digress.
Is he also watching this episode of the Tick? Too far.
Tick Plankton.
I think he's playing Pokemon Go, actually. A sock, athletic sock. Oh.
Yeah.
And there's Mr. Katsaros has put a little Hail to the Chief sting in there to coincide with the tick turning into a donkey. And it's true, at this time, a donkey was in the White House.
I love that all he had to do was hit the normal button.
Yeah, once again, yeah, the villainous machinery in the Tick universe is very idiot-proof. You want to defuse a bomb? Just switch it off.
No chest on that kid's hair.
No armpit hair.
Why did he have to remove his shirt for this? Oh, there's Skippy.
Fan service, Tim. Fan service. Yeah.
There was a bunch of little girls watching this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's to show off his goods.
And the nanny. The nanny comes to the rescue. Robot a robot. Oh. Okay, Amelia's all right.
There she is.
I don't know if she gets
to
talk.
She's just very emo.
Yeah.
She's really into Daria.
We all were, Tim. We all were
really into Daria. That's true.
I was a Jane Lane guy myself.
Yeah, you can't all be perfect.
Clarissa Darling got me through puberty, but Daria made me a man.
You always wanted to climb through that window, did you?
So now, once again, the parents, the traditional unit, is they're imposing the discipline, reaffirming, you know, a very conservative 1950s idea of the family.
Yeah.
But these are the same parents who didn't notice how the kid managed to like dig a hatch right underneath the foundation of the house that could slide away so that he could conduct his villainy. Where were they when he was doing that?
I'm sorry for all your trouble, ma'am. Now, Pat Music was the voice of the nanny.
And was that the only scene with the coach in this whole episode? Just him blowing the whistle and sending the boys off?
I think so. Yeah.
That's what makes the title so funny.
Yeah.
None of it's from his point of view. But.
And then we have this bittersweet ending up here.
Now, while the Tick underwent an ordeal of becoming a two-headed tiny bird that only speaks high school French, Coach Fussell's pain was much, much harsher. Who knows how long he was in the jar?
He's just his only chance of being a father, and it's chocolate.
Ooh, it's
and
chocolate.
They are right to be horrified. How did the Tick do that? The mind boggles.
Great episode. I love that. That is a banner episode.
Would you describe it as magnifique?
C'est magnifique.
I love those ones that have the ensemble cast. You get to see all the goodies and all the baddies all in one place.
Yeah. It was a good one. It's a good one.
It's a good.
What's our next episode? It's Bloomsday. Ooh.
The Return of El Cid.
Yeah, we get to see El Cid come back.
And I believe your favorite, the Bee Girls.
Ah, the Bee Twins. Yep. Mm-hmm. Bee Twins.
I love for the return of El Cid, who's a personal favorite. But there's a lot about that episode that kind of bothers me, and I guess we'll talk about it when we see each other again.
Oh, Bloomsday. So, yeah, tune in next time for Bloomsday. Ba-doosh.